All right, everybody, good afternoon and happy lunchtime. Happy Monday post-Thanksgiving. It is Monday, the 29th, and this is Stick and Hack Reacts. I'm Adam Grubb from Stick and Hack. That's Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio and host of The Pro Show. With me today, as always, as we break down the PGA, LPGA news and storylines and give our reactions to such storylines. And there really was only one major storyline over the weekend, Keith, and that is the match. This is the match. It feels like 30, but apparently it's only been five. Is that correct?
That's correct. But you know what? 30 is a good number. In five matches, they've raised $30 million for charity. That's a good thing.
Oh, look at that. Look how we intertwine that right in there. Appreciate that. The match five featuring Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. This was, I don't know. This felt like WWF to me. WWE, whatever the hell they're calling it now. This felt completely contrived, completely just kind of wedged into this world of, hey, people will love this because it's this this debut of their beef throughout the year, and now here they're going to play against each other. On paper, it didn't make sense. I thought it was dumb. In reality, I thought it was dumb. Keith, your reaction to the match five?
I'm with you there, Adam. I mean, it's pretty much two thumbs down. As far as the participants went, one of them showed up, the other didn't. But overall, the whole presentation, they were going to play 12 holes. We didn't know which 12 holes they were ahead of time. You know, people gamble on these things. That might be important to them. Like, when's a par five going to show up? When are we going to have par threes? By the time six holes were played, Brooks had won half of them. And, you know, half the people that were watching were done and clicked off and went to, you know, probably the Iowa football game. I mean, of all things, where we really had an opportunity to do something here once again with one of these matches, we didn't do much besides introduce Phil and, you know, maybe give him like a really good resume booster for being a commentator when he ever decides to, you know, hang up the cleats.
Let's get into it. It wasn't great. Yeah, let's break it down. So it wasn't great for a couple different reasons, in my opinion. Number one is that Brooks looked like he would rather be at my Thanksgiving dinner than at the match that he was in. Bryson was amped up on 5 hour energy, I'm sure, and some maybe got into Phil's coffee. I don't know. He is consistently the same character, and I say WWE and Jess, but it did feel that way. These are two titans of golf. And they're matched up against. Did they really hate each other? Probably not. Did they really care about this? Probably not. I don't know. It just the whole thing felt just a little flat and stale. But more specifically, it's 12 holes. That felt to me like, you know, after you play with your buddies on a Saturday and two of them are still amped up, they still want to go play more golf. They're chasing daylight and then like, let's go play 12 holes, you know, and me versus you for $100 or whatever. Okay, we'll go follow that for a couple holes and then. Just like in real life, after three holes, you're like, this is incredibly boring. The only thing that was great was Charles Barkley, who we knew was going to be great, king of one-liners. Phil, I mean, they were the ultimate stick and hack. Let's be honest here, with Phil and Charles in the booth, that was fun, and you're wanting to see what they're going to say next and who's going to be more outrageous. Barkley talking about losing money in the Nebraska game. I mean, it all was theater, and it was that part was great, but the golf I could have done without.
At the end of the day, if you're just going to have one-on-one, it has to be competitive. It wasn't competitive, so the match failed in that respect. And I've been saying this forever. A mano-a-mano match, even if it's Phil versus Tiger, there's not enough activity for the average fan to want to watch through all of that. They need undercards. I mean, how about introducing a woman into this? I mean, if we had Nelly versus Jin Young Ko, I mean... How good would that match be? Number one versus number two in the world. And of course they would do it because the LPGA would love the press, right? You know, how about Pat Mahomes versus Steph Curry? You know, and again, choosing a time of year where all of these people can be brought together, but the best heavyweight matches have undercards. And I've been saying, you know, I think that we should. And, you know, Phil and Barkley were great, but they could only go so far. There was some great Phil back and forth though with each of the players, and if he wasn't there and if he didn't probably have a money stake in this whole match thing, I don't know if it would have gone anywhere though.
Yeah, I agree. And that's an interesting concept too, the undercards, and that way you have more golf to watch, and you do have these this heavyweight bout, but you also have these undercards and you have these up and comers, or you have these other big names in golf, and they're doing other things outside of just playing. And I think that the bets themselves, there should be a skins pot, there should be a challenge pot, there should be some other things, and not just in the moment, but things that you have to do each hole, I think makes most sense. What's happening here? Oh, look at you. Are you
I thought you were getting ready to talk about Phil. So let's go. I was going to give you my top four Phil moments from the match, because I'm sure everybody didn't watch the whole thing, but he was on point.
All right, let's go. Let's get right into Phil then. So your reaction. So I think the storyline here is that Phil Mickelson has a career ahead of him after he's done playing golf, which doesn't sound like it's anytime soon. But when he's done, just like his old caddy Bones, he's going to go into the booth and he's going to kill it. He looked like you do the entire time. He had his shades on because he's contractually obligated to. And he looked around as if he was the smartest person in the room, which in some cases he probably was. Your reaction to Phil Mickelson in the booth for the match five?
Phil Mickelson, the Manning cast, these things that we're experiencing right now, Adam, in modern day commentators, could really reinvent the way that you know fans get to appreciate and connect with these broadcasts. I mean, he was fantastic. Certainly, it's interesting that he gets to have conversations with the actual players, right? Like, he was asking Bryson whether or not that he thought hitting bombs was attractive, and they had that whole back and forth. But Phil brings it to the table, and you said it there, and forget what he's talking about, like 18 other different things that he just read off Wikipedia and he's repeating back to the fans. Right. But when on hole two, when he read that putt for Brooks, I mean, that was like Tony Romo reading coverages right before the play. I mean, those types of insights, you know, that's like, Peyton on Monday nights. Yeah. People love that stuff. I mean, that stuff's really engaging. And to bring that to golf is really cool. I mean, even afterwards, Brooks could hear him in his ear and he said, "Hey, thanks for that, Phil." He goes, "I agree with you." And obviously he had made the putt, but it did exactly what Phil had said, which was kind of cool. You know, there was one point where Bryson was getting killed. I think he was like, you know, he lost half the holes he had played through six, and they're on the seventh tee. And Phil's like, "Hey, you need to get in your theta state, you know, that area between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic, nervous system where, mm-hmm. you know, you can operate your best." And Bryson's, they're having this conversation and nobody knows what they're talking about, but it's pretty funny, you know, and yeah. Probably the best one though, because Brooks basically, he held the trump card of confidence over Bryson the whole match, right? It just felt that way. Even though Bryson brought out the cupcakes or whatever, it wasn't competitive. And Brooks knew that by about the fourth hole that he had this guy.
Yeah.
And when Brooks went after Phil and he said, "Hey, Phil, what's up with you picking Bryson before this match?" And Phil comes back with like, "Hey, do you remember the PGA? You know, when Phil beat him on Sunday and he played right. against him." I mean, that kind of stuff. You and I have never experienced that level of back and forth without judgment, you know, with just, you know, guys having at it. Or if it was, let's say it was Annika sitting there and she was able to talk like that, going back and forth with Nelly or something. I mean, we could be on the precipice of something really cool if we would just add more people to these matches that were interesting and bring in a level of commentating like Phil did, like Charles did. He was talking about, "Hey, I want to get out of here. Let's go to the Iron Bowl. Thanks, Brooks, for you know, killing this thing early." I mean, it was great. And they raised $3 million for charity, which is a good thing on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we do forget that with all this, that there is charities that are involved. And they've raised over $30 million, as you indicated at the beginning of the show, for charity over the course of the five matches. I think that this, with each one of these, there's something new. There's a new element that's brought in that I think makes it interesting. It does take me back to years ago with the first one with Tiger and Phil, which I thought at that point that was the end of it. I mean, because it was not great, that first one. But it did. It's gotten better. And so I hope they do more of them, but I think they if they look at some of the ideas that are out there and some of the ways to make this even more inviting for the casual golf fan, I think it's going to be great. And I don't know how we transition out of you with the Phil look, so maybe we just stick with it the rest of the time, or do you want to casually take them off here, kind of like you would if you were a NASCAR driver in the middle of a press conference? It's up to you. I'm going to leave the choice up to you here live on Stick and Hack Reacts.
Are you asking for my reaction to Phil's look in the booth? Two thumbs up. Let's roll.
All right. On to my last, third topic here, the Stickenhouse reaction, and perhaps one of my my favorite topics currently to be talking about. And that is the Premier Golf League, the PGL, backing of some Saudi Arabia, the backing of Greg Norman, the confusion and concern that people will be being stripped from the PGA and going over to this other new league. And it's this entire new thing that could be happening to really shake up golf. And in a week where Tiger Woods could possibly potentially show up at his own tournament, the Bahamas, the Hero World Challenge, this weekend, that might not be the biggest news story, as we have breaking news just from this morning alone, Keith, around my favorite topic, the PGL.
Well, the Saudi International is no longer sanctioned by the European Tour. And this is an important distinction as why this is a story. It is now sanctioned by the Asian Tour, which is backed by Greg Norman's group, Live Golf Entertainment, right? So anyone that goes and plays in that isn't playing a European Tour event or what's now called the DP World Tour. They are playing and, you know, they are basically being courted by the Saudis. Right, this event is being played over there. So the list comes out this morning: Bryson, Sergio, DJ, Louis Oosthuizen, of course, Phil, Xander, even some middle tier guys like HV3 and Johnny Vegas, Kevin Na, Ian Poulter, Tyrrell Hatton, Jason Kokrak. That's a pretty big list that somebody's going to have to react to, because if you remember back to July, the PGA Tour came out and said anyone that goes and plays in that event needs to petition the tour. And, you know, if it's not a European Tour sanctioned event, you know, their card could be in jeopardy. So this thing just broke this morning.
How is that, though? If they're independent contractors, and this is what I never have understood, they pride themselves on the independent contractor model within their athletes, and that there's no players association or there's nothing outside of I work for myself and I play where I want to play when I want to play. It is surprising to me. It is almost like hire an independent sales consultant to work for you, and they're on their own, but then telling them, hey, you can't sell for other people. You can't sell. You have to have a non-compete. How are you an independent with a non-compete, which is basically what's happening here?
Adam, they're not independent, right? At the end of the day, you could say that all you want, but they're just not. Mm-hmm. The PGA Tour is going to control who plays on their tour. And they're in a really tough spot right now, heading into what's going to be a lot of downtime with a lot of conversations behind the scenes. And what they tell us or what they're doing quietly will be very interesting. At a week where everyone could celebrate Tiger Woods coming back,
just that he's out on the course and out in public, I think, just to clarify. He's not playing.
Yeah, well, yeah, that he makes an appearance. We haven't seen Tiger, since last February. So, yeah. Where you could have used these sunglasses talking to Jim Nance, but that's neither here nor there. So
what a callback.
But in a week, it was rough. Remember that? That was rough.
I do.
Yeah, it was
rough. I do.
But I love Tiger. So
I do too.
You know, by all means, so happy to have him back. You know, we've got 20 players, all top 50 in the world, all going to the Bahamas. How going to have a huge event? Really tough to handicap. I mean, you got all the best players in the world there. Who will win? Who will play well? How much will Patrick Reed cheat? You know, I mean, all of these factors are coming into play. And then the Saudis dropped this thing on Monday, the week of what was, they couldn't wait a week. You know, it's all very interesting that they continue to seem like they're the ones that are moving their chess piece first.
Let me ask you this. If this was any other group other than Saudi Arabia, if this was any other collection of people, is this as big of a news story, and is there the as much angst and frustration over players playing in this new league or new backed events?
I know the Saudi thing kind of makes it controversial. I think it has more to do with the money, Adam, because with the amount of money that they have, the thing becomes very real and becomes a threat to the PGA Tour. So if it was, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett wanting to start their own tour and they were going to throw around, a couple hundred million to players, I think you'd have similar types of conversations. Now, as much as the Saudi thing, on a world stage is controversial and everything, really that hasn't been brought up as much as the the partners involved, like the Greg Normans, who are saying, hey, we need to do better. We need to create something better. The PGA Tour isn't doing a good enough job, right? PGL didn't get there. Super Golf League didn't get there. All of a sudden, LIV gets there. Why? Because they have all the money. And the money is probably the biggest threat, Adam, at the end of the day. So I'm not sure if it's a Saudi thing, and I could be totally naive and off on that, but I think it's more of a money thing as generally these types of situations come from. You know, it's always a question of economics, and there's no doubt they have economics. And you start to bring over Bryson, Phil, Xander, DJ.
Those are big, big names. That's not Harris English.
I mean, the PGA Tour event that week is the Pebble Beach, AT&T Pro-Am, which I know isn't the biggest one anymore. But at the same time, it's squeezed in between the Farmers and the Waste Management, which guys love to play in. Yeah. And, they're obviously not really supporting the PGA Tour there. So it's definitely this thing isn't going away, and which will make you happy because you love talking about it.
I love talking about it. I think it's fascinating. I think change and disruption is fascinating. And anybody that is coming in to make a move on something, the establishment, I enjoy in golf. That's about where that ends as far as my allegiance to things. Keith Stewart, host of the Pro Show on ESPN Radio in New York, as well as where you find your podcast. You had an incredible guest on Friday from the LPGA, Director of Communications Marketing for LPGA. Go check out Keith's show from last Friday. We've got Brittany Lincecum on the Stick and Hack show that is tomorrow here on the Stick and Hack Podcast Network. He's Keith Stewart. I'm Adam Grubb. Thanks so much for listening to Stick and Hack Reacts. An incredible show. Keith, enjoy your week, and thank you so much for your time today, as always.
Adam, enjoy the grub. It's lunchtime.